Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, Key.
Good morning, Max.
Key.
Good morning.
Good to hear your voice this morning, Keyshawn.
Yeah. I don't know. Key hasn't had his coffee yet.
Key does not look today.
Boys, no, say what's
I'm
up.
Chilling. I'm good.
You all right?
What y'all do?
Why you come with the Barry White boys?
No, I'm good, man.
Yeah, he's got Susan Keem Jones. Spirit. Look, he got KJM gear on, the whole thing.
Got
all right.
R&B voice this morning. I like it. Okay.
You know what we were talking about? Like, we were just talking about this the other day. Like, all the moves that the Rams made in the offseason, right? Mm-hmm. And how they pushed their chips to the middle of the table, right? That whole thing. Boy, they better win a Super Bowl. And we even debated, because, Key, you were saying they better do it this year. And I was saying, well, as long as Stafford wins one in his time in L.A. But then, of course, the counter to that is, yeah, but they don't have the draft picks. This might be their best chance to do it. So there was all this going on. Then at the trade deadline, or during the season, rather, they trade a second and a third for Von Miller. We have Mike T on the show, Mike Tannenbaum, talking about that's a lot to pay for a guy. He's good still, but that's a lot to pay given his age and all this stuff. Guys, but, you know, the truth is, all the guys they picked up contributed to that win over Arizona. Mm-hmm. Key, starting with Stafford, who played the way you always say in the playoffs. How do you put it? Not calm and collected. You're safe and sound. Safe and sound with a football. Make a few plays when you need to. Only threw it 17 times, 14 completions.
Less is more.
That checks the box for Stafford, right, Key? That's the way he needs to play?
Oh, yeah. He didn't turn the ball over. The most important thing is not turning the ball over. When you 13-17, you know, 200 yards, I'll round it up. I give him 210 just for fun and two touchdowns and then one plunge on the ground. That's the guy you need. That's the guy you want. Then when you talk about the other players that contributed, you talk about Von Miller. Von Miller contributed. He got a sack, a tackle for loss. You know, you look at Von Miller, six tackles, three tackles for loss, a sack, quarterback hit, Cam Akers, 17 carries coming off an Achilles injury back in July. He had 17 carries for 55 yards, but he also became a threat in the passing game. They had to look out for him as well. And then OBJ. OBJ had four catches, 54 yards, a touchdown, and then another one, another big play in the air where he played quarterback. So when you talk about adding those type of players and paying what you paid to get those players, this is the time of year that that's supposed to pay off, and it paid off for the Rams against the Cardinals.
Man, and then you wonder about what this team – I mean, Robert Woods, him going out, right, what this team could have been, like, fully healthy – and even Sony Michel, I mean, what a story there, right? Cam Akers goes down, a guy that comes in. Now all of a sudden they have that dual running back scenario we talked about, something that made Cleveland so powerful when they were at their best. This team is a complete package. And it goes back to what you said about Matthew Stafford, Max. It's about less is more for me with Matthew Stafford. Being efficient and just making the right plays. Now you're going to have big moments where you're going to need him to make the big play. But it also goes to show you how he can stretch the field differently, and that's something that OBJ did not have in Cleveland.
That, you know, I was thinking about also Stafford's reaction right after the game to Lisa Salter's question. It's one thing to put the emphasis on the team. It's another thing to – he was almost desperate to not – he's like, oh, this team went. And he starts talking about special teams and offense and defense. And going into a game against Tom Brady, who's always like, you're going to make more mistakes than me. You're going to beat yourself, right? That's such an important mentality to have. But it is, like, even though you say, well, they don't have the depth of some other teams, actually, Robert Woods went down. They already had OBJ on the roster. Sony Michel, they bring in to compensate for the fact that Cam Akers went down, but Cam Akers came back. They actually now do. Von Miller, just they want another pass rusher, but they already got a couple pass rushers, not to mention Aaron Donald, who makes everyone a better pass rusher. It seems to me like all of the acquisitions, the major ones, not only contributed to that win, but make them very live against the Bucs, against whom they are underdogs.
Can I just say this, though, Key?
Well, they made
this is the way I felt watching the game. And granted, I give the Rams a lot of credit because they took it to the Cardinals. But damn, man, like, it felt like the Cardinals quit. Like, it didn't feel like the Cardinals actually showed me life, even the way they were, Key, before the half, not going for the points. So, like, I'm like, all right, yeah, the Rams look really good. But I also saw the Cardinals quit. So, like, am I over-evaluating how good the Rams actually are? But we'll get a chance to find out against the Bucs.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that they quit. I don't know that they quit at all. I wouldn't say that one bit. when you talk about guys quitting. OBJ, people had OBJ quitting on the Cleveland Browns, so to speak, quitting on his team and not performing at the level that people thought he was going to perform. And I bring it back to OBJ because he was such a major contributor this season when he got to the Rams, and even to the point where many people thought that he was a washed-up player. He's coming off injury. They basically decided to say, OBJ, get out of here. We're siding with Baker Mayfield. Now you take a look at what he's been able to do with the Rams since coming over. He's had the opportunity to really be a special player again in the National Football League. I tip my hat off to that. Now we have to turn and look and see who was the real problem in Cleveland. Was it really OBJ, or was it Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield not giving OBJ the real opportunities to be what he's capable of being?
It'll probably be the latter, the inability by Baker to actually be the deep threat, right? I mean, think about the moves that Sean McVay did in order to get Jared Goff, because he didn't think Jared Goff can expand the field the way that Matthew Stafford does. And it almost seems like that was the same scenario in Cleveland, but now OBJ playing with a guy like Stafford, it allows it to be open.
There are a lot of already, like as soon as Odell made that pass, you look at Twitter. I mean,
boom!
Baker Mayfield was trending. Odell makes the pass, Baker Mayfield trends. But the truth about Odell is you go back to the Giants, no offensive line, the remains of Eli Manning as a quarterback. That was terrible. And then he goes to Cleveland. They have a great offensive line, but and Baker is good enough to be able to get him the ball, but it wasn't working out that way. That, I think, in Cleveland was about chemistry with him and Baker. Key, I know you downplayed it with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, because Ja'Marr Chase is a baller, period. He ball wherever he go. I get that. But there is such a thing as the reverse. You got a guy who can play quarterback and a receiver who's a baller, but they're just not on the same page. That was the case in Cleveland. It's not the case in L.A. for Odell.
Well, see, I don't think that the Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, it's going to be great chemistry because they went to school together. I play with, I want to say, about 15 different quarterbacks, maybe even more. I lost count in a short period of time in the National Football League. And all they had to do was pull the trigger. If you pull the trigger, I'll deliver. If you don't pull the trigger, I can't help you. Right. I can't help you at all. And I think that was a lot of the OBJ frustration in Cleveland. I went to the Cleveland Browns Los Angeles Charger game. I sat in the stands and watched from afar things develop and say, well, he's not even pulling the trigger and trying to get the football to OBJ. So I think when you started to hear noise come out of Cleveland from OBJ's dad or OBJ himself or whomever about him not getting the football, that was true. That was just not something made up. I saw it with my own eyes. So in Los Angeles, Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford are putting a small emphasis on getting him the football in situations and taking advantage of it. You know, when you think about the touchdown and he scored on the fade route, that is a mano-a-mano, my guy on your guy, my guy's better than you, let it rip. Yeah. And that's what they did.
You know, I look at the Cardinals and look at the Rams. Cardinals picked up useful players, name brands, but they could still play, but they're not what they once were. J.J. Watt, for example, right? That's useful. The Rams picked up difference makers. Whatever their role on this team is, well, Odell has to fit in, but he is a difference maker on the field. Von Miller is a difference maker on the field. Cam Akers is healthy again, difference maker on the field. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Much more on the Rams and Bucks throughout the show, of course. And if the Rams can end Tom Brady's chase for 8. But the Cowboys quarterback got caught up in the moment, then had to Dak track.
Ah, Dak track. Well done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Where did it go wrong for Mike McCarthy at? He called the play. That's not bad clock management.
Key, you know darn well this is a horrendous call.
I'm not calling for his job. I'm just telling you I don't know how you bring him back.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, the ESPN app. We're on ESPN, too.
Okay, Yates.
Got a podcast. We're on your smart speakers. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. So, guys, Dak, we were on his neck a little bit.
No, we weren't.
No, not just us. I mean, like, you know, the whole Kedia.
You just felt
media.
Kedia.
No, yeah, I wasn't on his neck, so I'm not gonna fall on that one.
Yeah. I think we kind of
you're not gonna group me in with the rest of y'all. Charlie,
oh, you're in the group.
Yeah, we defended that.
It's not gonna happen.
So yes, because Dak Prescott has built up a lot of equity. Like when he got the bag, $40 million a year. It's not just like, or let's put it this way: when people talk about paying players at that position at that rate, they say, okay, what's he do on the field? Yep, checks that box. How does he represent the organization? He checks that box. Mm-hmm. So, Dak, you don't have to worry about stuff like that. But then, he was in a bit of hot water after the Cowboys lost 23-17 to the Niners, and not because of his play on the field. But this is what Dak said after the game when he was asked about fans throwing things on the field. Dak initially thought the fans were throwing it at the players. Listen to his response when asked about it.
To know everything that we put into this day in and day out, try our hardest. Nobody comes in the game wanting or expecting to lose. And for people to react that way when you're supposed to be a supporter and be with us through thick and thin, that's tough.
I think they were aiming at the referees.
Yeah. They were at the referees.
Well, credit to them then.
So then, you know, look, a lot of people, myself included, you know, jumped on Dak and was like, oh, hold on. So it's not okay to throw stuff at players because you're giving your best. But what do you think, the refs are out there not giving their best? And besides, they're still throw something at someone. That's assault, actually, in real life. So, like, that's okay. That's good on the fans for that. Now, look, he's in the heat of the moment. The whole thing, he's asked in that moment. But this is what he said what he said. And he tweeted out in a series of tweets since then. I'll quote, "I deeply regret the comments I made regarding the officials after the game on Sunday. I was caught up in the emotion of a disappointing loss, and my words were uncalled for and unfair. I hold the NFL officials in the highest regard and have always respected their professionalism and the difficulty of their jobs. The safety of everyone who attends a game or participates on the field of a sporting event is a very serious matter. That was a mistake on my behalf, and I am sorry." So now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Key, for me, your consulting firm, the Keyshawn Johnson consulting firm, which a lot of players and coaches need. I don't think Dak needs it. I think that's exactly the way you handle it. What do you think about his tweets?
It's fine. I mean, he said he's sorry. I understood at the time when he said it that it was, coming off a game, emotions are rolling. The referees kind of botched a couple calls in the game. In his opinion, they got in the way at the end of the game on the spot of the football, bumping him off. So I get the emotional part of it. He apologized. I don't have any issues with it whatsoever. I didn't look at it as they're less than human because he said what he said about the fans throwing things at them opposed to his teammates. I understand the heat of the moment. So I'm good with it. I don't need to drag it on and talk about it for the next 2 days.
Let me explain to people what happens as an athlete. And I'm not making excuses for Dak or anybody because I think we would be objective and honest about how we felt about something, especially if the body of work of that particular athlete didn't contradict what you hear in that moment when he is emotional. But typically after you lose a game like that where you feel a lot of pressure, right, from a lot of different ways. You just got the bag. Your team is projected with the talent that you have to win a Super Bowl. You feel the pressure for your coach, Mike McCarthy. You feel the pressure for your owner, Jerry Jones. He's backing you in a lot of different ways. You're emotional. Afterwards, though, when you start watching the tape and you're at home up until 4 o'clock in the morning, like, damn, and 14 penalties, that amounted to 89 yards. You start finding the real reasons why you were in that position in the first place, and you go back, you're like, all right, I didn't need to say that.
You start looking in the mirror.
Yeah, you start looking at things a little bit more objectively because the emotion is taken out of the equation. You can come back down to reality.
You know, I first of all, I want everyone listening, when you like the standard that we hold athletes to.
Ooh,
I want everyone
tough.
Listening to imagine the five lowest moments in your life. I don't mean the worst things that ever happened to you or made you saddest. I'm talking about your own behavior where you're like, ooh, I wish I could have that one back. Now imagine for a second that the whole world saw those lowlights. Would you expect any sympathy from anyone, right? They'd be like, oh, look at this animal. You know, like we all, this is the human nature. We all have moments that we regret in our own behavior. Athletes have some of those moments after the most emotional experiences, right? With a million cameras and mics in their face. And if you say one wrong word that expresses your anger or disappointment in a way that's not socially acceptable, everyone's on your neck. And for,
it's hilarious, though, yeah. Man, to sit back and think about it, because he plays the quarterback position. The quarterbacks aren't supposed to show their true, raw, emotional feelings. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to just be corporate. Everything is, how you doing there, Bob? All right, see you later, Jim. Way to go, Evan. Instead of just, that's supposed to be a defensive back, wide receiver, or running back going at the referees. And the fact that he has to, and look, maybe he thought about it or somebody came to him and said, this doesn't look good. Why don't you issue an apology? Whatever the case is, it's just funny that we even having a conversation this morning about him issuing an apology when, to me, it wasn't really that big of a deal. He was, especially being an athlete, I understand his emotions took over at that moment in time.
But see, I also feel like we're missing the slight little point that is so different than what normal people go through. Not everybody knows Joe Johnny walking down the street, his salary and what he's making, right? So from an athlete perspective, when your salary is public knowledge and people are talking about he got the bag, all of a sudden people then see these moments where you have a low moment. They're like,
but what does the bag got to do with anything, right?
It doesn't have anything to do with me.
People actually react
to it. People
are
like, oh, he got the bag.
Yeah, man, that doesn't mean anything.
You're paying him all this money and this is what you get. So it's like,
you know what? Let's flip that around.
Crazy.
I think that's true,
Jay. I hear
you, Key. Jay, but I think, I mean, whether or not it's crazy, I think it's true. It's human nature.
Yeah, for sure.
But I want to talk like to the same people who imagined it. When I asked you to imagine the five lowest moments of your life, right? Think of how emotionally invested you were watching the game. Guys, I was emotionally invested in the game. I don't care about the Cowboys or the Niners, but I was emotionally invested. Now imagine the fans of those teams, what it meant to you in that moment. You don't play for the team. This is not how you make a living. You have it, just, you know, blood, sweat, and tears in a physical sport like that, risking life and limb on every play.
No,
think
that's
of
true,
how
Max,
emotional it is for it, these dudes. Yeah.
It's true that the fans are going to get emotional, but just because a man make $40 million doesn't mean he doesn't have feelings and he doesn't feel a certain way. It's funny to me that people, the first thing they go to was it the money he makes. He shouldn't be that way because he makes this type
he's
of money.
Professional.
That has nothing to do between the white lines. The white lines is a different emotion. When he leaves the white lines and get into his car at the end of the day and drives home, that's something totally different than when he's playing football.
I agree,
not to mention the game is over, and now he's a human being reacting to what just happened with greater disappointment than the most bitter fan out there, believe me. Anyway, Dak handled it the way he handled it, which is perfect. He built up a lot of equity. It's now dead. The issue is dead because it's Dak Prescott, and you expect him to handle stuff that way. Mm-hmm. That's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. 8 quarterbacks remain with one goal, right? But who can actually achieve it?
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Evan, take it away.
All right, here we go. Real or not real today is going to be there are eight quarterbacks left in the playoffs. Quarterbacks left in the playoffs will win a Super Bowl or another one with their current team. So you can't say real for Tom Brady because he's won seven. The idea is Tom Brady will win another one if you say real for Tom Brady. So we're going
to
go
with
in
the
order.
Bucks. With he has to Bucks. Win it with the Bucks.
Win another one with the Bucks. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
All right, here we go. We're going to start. We're going to go in order of how Key ranked his quarterbacks yesterday left in the playoffs. So we'll start with Ryan Tannehill. Real or not real that he will win a Super Bowl with the Titans, Key?
I would say it's not real. As much as I like the Tennessee Titans and they're the number one seed, I think there's just too many different deficiencies with this football team to believe that they're going to win a Super Bowl. And the best time for them to win a Super Bowl would be this year. But when I look at the NFC, I think the NFC has a couple better teams than the Tennessee Titans and Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill, not real. 2 years remaining left on his contract, guys. There are a lot of teams better positioned to come out of that division. I don't see it with him. And I like him. I think he's a marginal quarterback. I just don't see him prevailing in this situation.
So I think he's a good quarterback, but I don't think good gets it done anymore. Unless you catch, like, you Nick Foles, all-time performance, but you're going to bank on that on a guy? I think you need a great quarterback nowadays. There's a reason, Key, he was eighth on your list, because he's, like, you put Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes or one of the guys toward the top of the list, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, Titans can win. I'm going to say no, not real.
All right, this might be the easiest one we have. Key, Jimmy G, real or not real, wins a Super Bowl with the Niners?
You know, I don't think not real. I don't think so, because I don't know that they'll make it to the Super Bowl. And, again, much like Ryan Tannehill, when you look at the conference, yes, there's better teams, in my belief, and better quarterback play in the NFC conference. And so, you know, Jimmy G is serviceable enough. They do a great job in running the football, but I don't think he can get them to where they need to be. And that's winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'll say not real. The odds just don't seem to be in Jimmy's favor. Plus, the way the 49ers moved up in order to get Trey Lance in the draft, like it feels like his time, like this is on his last hurrah. Similar to Coach K, their last hurrah.
Not real again because of what I said earlier. There's a reason he was seventh on the list. Jimmy G, could he win a Super Bowl? Theoretically, yeah, but you're running into Aaron Rodgers, who in the high-leverage moments can do things Jimmy G can't. So his team will advance, I believe, and Jimmy G is one. I'm going to say not real.
It's funny you say that. Aaron Rodgers 0-3 against the 49ers in the playoffs in his career.
Wow. I think that's about a change.
Matthew Stafford. Yeah. He was 0-3 in the playoffs to begin with. Got a playoff win. Real or not real, he wins the Super Bowl, Key.
This is interesting here. I'm going to say not real because of two things. They're getting ready to go up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I understand that they could get after Tom Brady, and they very well could win this football game. And I'm assuming that the Green Bay Packers will probably beat the San Francisco 49ers, although the 49ers is a tough matchup for Green Bay. Now you're taking a dome team, the LA Rams, traveling to the cold. I'm going to play weatherman. It's going to be cold in Green Bay, and the weather is not great. I saw Matthew Stafford play in Green Bay when he played with the Detroit Lions. I don't see him winning a Super Bowl at all. I think it's going to be a miserable failure over time. Jeez. For the Rams.
I'll say real. And if they're not able to get by the Bucs this year, if they happen to fail, I wonder how things change next year if Aaron Rodgers decides to go to a different team. Tom Brady will then be a year older. I still think Matthew Stafford has a legit chance with the talent they have on this team. Get Robert Woods back next year. I mean, they'll be absolutely loaded. They're going to be in that conversation. They have a legit chance. So I say real.
I'm going to say not real. And now we're in a gray area. But this also underscores my point. Is he talented enough? I think he is. I think now we've gotten beyond Tannehill and Garoppolo into the talent level needed to win a Super Bowl. but is he still at his age as talented as some of these other quarterbacks who he's going to be playing against? There's a reason people don't want to see him throw it 50 times, right? Because if that's Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, like, yeah, go ahead, throw it all you want. That's not Matthew Stafford. Not quite. So now we're starting to approach the Super Bowl quarterback, but I still think not quite. So not real.
Here we go. Getting into Key's top five quarterbacks left in the playoffs. Joe Burrow, only in his second year. Key, real or not real, he wins a Super Bowl at some point with the Bengals.
I think it's real. I think he will win a Super Bowl. It's a young nucleus of weapons around him. Look, when you start off a career the way that he has, you typically do not fall off. You continue to excel. I can point to the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers of the world, the Brett Favre's of the world. You look at that and you say to yourself, he is headed on the right trajectory. I think he will win a Super Bowl at some point.
Real for me. I love the weapons he has around him. Even more importantly, I love the age of the weapons he has around him and their ability to grow together. Chase, 21 years old. Mixon, 25. Higgins, 23. Boyd, 27. Like, that ability to grow together as a core is what gives him a legit chance.
Yeah, real. Now we're talking about a quarterback who can win a Super Bowl. And it's not just the size and the speed and the arm and the accuracy and the brain and the strength of the arm and all that stuff. It's also the moxie everyone talks about. And Key talked about a nucleus of weapons around him. Try nuclear weapons around him. This dude's got a loaded offense. I believe Burrow will win multiple Super Bowls in his career, and he might even start this year. Don't sleep.
Multiple.
Yep.
Another fan base clamoring for a Super Bowl. Josh Allen, real or not real, he delivers to Buffalo.
I think it's real. I think it is a real chance and a possibility. He is one of the young guns in the AFC when you talk about young quarterback play. You look at the division. Tom Brady dominated the division starting at a young age all the way to 42 years old till he decided to leave the New England Patriots. The New York Jets don't have a quarterback that I like. The Miami Dolphins don't have a quarterback I like. The jury is still out on Mac Jones. So Josh Allen will be in position every single year to win the division. And if he wins the division, eventually he'll get a first-round bye. That'll carry him to the Super Bowl.
I want to say real, but a part of me is leaning towards not real. And if we talk about Josh Allen and how he's taken so many steps in the progression of who he is as a player – they lose Brian Daboll. We've had this conversation multiple times about a coach and his staff. And I wonder about if Brian Daboll were to leave, Stephon Diggs in his 30s, how other teams, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, other teams are coming and they're growing. Will he be able to continue to get it done? So I'll go not real.
I understand why you say that. There's whatever it is about, like, I look at Justin Herbert, for example. I'm like, oh, my God. I look at Josh Allen, or Patrick Mahomes, obviously. I look at Josh Allen, I go, it's something like that, but not exactly. He, to me, is like the best you can get before you get to the superhuman guys. But maybe I got to get over that because he's a big, strong kid. He can run. He has a big, strong arm. And what they just did to the Patriots, like, I feel what you're feeling, Jay, but the evidence is forcing me to say it is real. He's going to win a Super Bowl.
You heard Max mention Justin Herbert. Fascinating Justin Herbert conversation in a half hour.
Yes. Way to plug that, Evan. Good tease.
Patrick Mahomes, real or not real, wins another Super Bowl with the Chiefs, Key. Real or not real?
Real. I don't even want to elaborate on this because it's real. We all know that Patrick Mahomes is in the right position with the right coaching staff and the right players around him.
Yeah, it's real. 26 years old. He signed with the Chiefs until he's 36. Like, yes, he has a lot of time.
I think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. I mean, like, they got to get past the Bills. That's a 50-50. But if they do, I think they win the whole thing. Yeah, I'm going to say real.
The real question is, how many championships does he finish with in Kansas City?
I mean, if he were to get two
not
more
one.
In his career, that's a ton.
Not two.
Oh, you're going LeBron James,
D.
Wade? Uh-oh.
Not four. Not five.
Chris Bosh.
Not six.
If Patrick Mahomes plays 10 or 12 more years and wins two more altogether, he's among the most winning Super Bowl winningest quarterbacks ever. It's hard to win a Super Bowl. Don't let Brady fool you.
Speaking of, Tom Brady, real or not real, Key, he wins another Super Bowl with the Bucs. That would be eight.
Yeah, the deck is stacked against him. It's not real. 44 years old. I love Tom Brady. You can't count him out, but you got to look at the other teams and the young quarterbacks around him and his team in general. Yes, Mike Evans is still there. There's no question about it. So is Gronkowski. Leonard Fournette maybe be back at some point. Ronald Jones at some point. The defense may get a few players back on that side. But in the end, I don't know that he has enough weapons to go back into Green Bay and get back to the Super Bowl.
Look, man, I'm never going to count out Tom Brady. I'm not going to be that person to do it. And he's been an anomaly in terms of age versus production. I think he still has another good year or two left at a high, high level. He'll get weapons back. He still has weapons on this team. Let's not talk about this team is depleted of weapons. And Tom can make other normal players look pretty phenomenal. So I'll go with real.
Here's the funny thought I just had. What if Brady starts to slip? Eventually everyone does. And he's 46, 47 years old. And he and Belichick reunite in New England and win one there. Like, I think Brady has enough road ahead of him. I can't believe I, of all people, am saying this. I think it's real. I think he's going to win another Super Bowl at some point.
Yeah, if I was you, Max, I'd say it's real, too.
Max, it has to be with the Bucks. Huh? Real or not real, he wins another Super Bowl with the Bucks, though.
I'm going to go with Key, not real with the Bucks, because it took a lot to bring the whole team back, and they're hurt now, and this is probably their best chance.
So, Key, what you're saying is, since Max once said that he's going to fall off a cliff, now he's doubling down the other way, saying he's definitely going to win one. That's what you're trying to tell me?
I didn't say definitely.
Well, I think Max has an opinion, and he wants to share it with the world, and so I'm all with him. If he like it, I love it.
Last one.
That's well put. Yeah, go ahead.
Real or not real, the best quarterback left in the playoffs, according to Key, Aaron Rodgers wins another Super Bowl with the Packers. Real or not real, Key?
It's real. I think it is. I think when you look at the Green Bay Packers, everything is set up perfectly for Aaron Rodgers. The stress level is gone. There is no more real pressure. The regular season is away. Now he can have fun until such due time that the pressure comes to bear, which is late in games, things of that nature. And he's shown us that he's capable of leading the charge. I just think that everything is aligned perfectly for them. They're going to get the weather. They got a packed house. And they're going to draw two teams, potentially, in my opinion, from the West Coast, the San Francisco 49ers, as well as the Los Angeles Rams. Going to the cold weather is going to play a huge factor in him getting to the Super Bowl. And then once he gets to the Super Bowl, all bets are off. He's got to go get it.
I'll say real, but it's crazy that we're 12 years removed from his last Super Bowl win.
Appearance.
And when you start thinking about NFC championship games, losing this game four times since 2014, I'm like, is this game just your kryptonite? Is this just the one game that you just can't get over the hump? I mean, I think he can. But, man, it puts a lot of pressure on him in these moments.
This is such
no,
a tough
you mean
question.
Super Bowl win. He won the Super Bowl when he appeared.
Yeah, but
in
what,
it.
I'm saying is,
once.
What I'm saying yeah. is he hasn't even been back God. Since then. You know what I mean? It's been 12 years, not just since he won one, but since he's ever even been in one. Mahomes was in one last year. This is such a tough question because it's at least two parts. First, you're asking, will he win it this year?
With the Packers.
And there's a good chance he does. And then, if he doesn't, is he going to stay with the Packers? I think there's enough there to say it's real. There's
he
enough there to say
ain't going nowhere,
it's real.
Man. We need to just stop.
I'm saying it's real. He'll win another
Super
Bowl.
I just don't
Super
know
Bowl
what to expect
Packers.
From this dude, Key. He'd be keeping me on my toes. He keeps everybody on their toes all the time.
You're thinking too deep.
That's probably true.
Here is Aaron Rodgers on the possibility of retirement. Listen to this.
Oh, God.
Retirement?
I think football mortality is something that we all think about. And we all think about how many opportunities we're going to be afforded moving forward. And each one is special. Each season is different and unique in its own way, as has this one been. We're not going to make it bigger than it is. We've gotten this far being level-headed and even-keeled and not riding a roller coaster of emotions, and we're going to keep on doing the same thing.
Jen Latta joins us now on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. What's up, Jen?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning yourself. What's up, Jen? You heard what Rodgers just said. How much pressure's on him?
I think there's a lot of pressure on Rodgers. I think he cares immensely about his personal legacy. He'd certainly like to bring another Super Bowl to Green Bay. And it seems like the ideal year to do it, obviously having the number one seed and the road to the Super Bowl going through Green Bay. Look, we all know he is a highly competitive guy. And, you know, he's shown that year in and year out, you know, feistiness and wanting other guys to elevate to his level when it comes to their work ethic and their commitment to the sport. I think there's a lot of pressure on him. But I think he's doing a good job of managing the emotions because he knows as he goes, the rest of the team goes. And he's got some guys out there, a lot of guys actually, who haven't been in this position before, you know, as far as being the number one seed and home field advantage. And I know that you guys have talked about the cold weather. So I think he knows he has to be be a leader in these situations and kind of be the evening force for this team as they sit for the past week and now welcome the 49ers to Lambeau Field.
Jen, Aaron Rodgers is 0-3 lifetime as a starter against the San Francisco 49ers. How do you think that this will play in his mindset as he takes the field?
Yeah, I don't think it'll have that much. I don't think it'll hang around that much. I think it's a new season. It's a new team. They're a different team. We talked about a lot of the things that worry Green Bay Packers fans, you know, in Wisconsin, even just sports in general for Wisconsin sports fans. There always feels like you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, it wasn't until the Bucs won the title this past year that you really felt like you had taken that step. You know, it's been 10 years since the Packers won the Super Bowl here. So I think there's always that, like, oh, something's going to go wrong. You know, people point to, like you said, him being 0-3 against the Niners in the playoffs. People point to the fact that they had a 17-point lead week three against the Niners, and then that San Francisco clawed its way back into that game, and the Packers ended up winning on a 37-second drive by Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and a last-second field goal by Mason Crosby. You look at how the run defense has played, and it's been really lousy at times throughout the season. But I really point to the fact that they have really struggled in the red zone, guys. I mean, they're one of the worst teams when it comes to opponents scoring touchdowns in the red zone. Opponents score 66% of the time when they get into the red zone. So all of those things, I think, sit there and, like, marinate on Packers fans' brains. But it doesn't feel like those things are affecting the team. Yesterday we heard from a lot of guys, and it just seems like there is a confidence to where they are right now, and I think that's kind of motivating them this week.
Jen Latta, ESPN Milwaukee, co-host of Jen, Gab, and Chewy, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Jen, you know, he's been to the NFC Championship game four times since 2014. It feels like it's his kryptonite. How much pressure overall is there on Aaron Rodgers, considering everything that happened this offseason, and still even being on a platform where he's talking more than he's ever talked before? How does that all translate to the pressure he's going to feel on this run?
Yeah, he's definitely opened himself up to a lot more criticism this season, right? As far as doing these shows and really talking openly and being more transparent. And I think that the older you get, you kind of can deal with some of that a little bit more. Look, Rodgers early in his career was notoriously sensitive, and he really didn't seem like he could handle criticism. Now you look at him and go, well, there's some growth there because he's putting himself in these positions where he is saying things that are somewhat controversial to some people, and he's kind of accepted the fact that this is how he feels, and he's open to people disagreeing with him. So you could argue that he has put himself in a position where there's more pressure. You know, there was that whole conversation a couple weeks ago, guys, where people were saying that they weren't going to vote for him for MVP because of some of the off the field things. Like, that's criticism he's never dealt with before. I do think he's going to win the MVP. I think that his on the field performance has just shown that he is the best player in the league this year on one of the best teams. But yeah, there's a lot of pressure on this team. I just don't think that the Niners are the team that are going to give them a tough time. The Packers play their game this weekend. I think they're the better team, and I think that they will move on to the NFC Championship game again, and he will have one more opportunity to exercise that demon in the NFC Championship game, which would be at Lambeau Field like it was last year.
Jen, like, we've asked you a couple, like, pressure questions, and you can kind of generically throw that out for a lot of different quarterbacks, obviously, in the situation. But I'm curious locally, because is there any talk, because nationally there has been some, about Rodgers versus Favre and what Rodgers needs to do as a Packer. There have been some great Packers quarterbacks to establish himself as the Packer GOAT, right? And has there also been any talk locally about the fact that Brady, first year in the conference, no Belichick anymore, gets by Rodgers to win the Super Bowl? Is there any kind of focus on either one of those topics?
You know, I think, again, Rodgers being competitive, he's always going to compare himself to some of the other guys in the league, and that's not exclusive to Favre, and that's not exclusive to a Brady. You know, he would compare himself to Manning as well and some of the other greats that have played the position. There is talk, obviously, of getting that second Super Bowl in the state of Wisconsin would move him above Favre, who only won one during his time here. You know, getting another MVP would move him above Favre, who won, I believe it was three during his time in Green Bay as well. I just don't think that he can catch Brady, obviously, from a championship standpoint. So Brady's always going to have that above him. What Aaron can do, though, is go out there, game in and game out, and show that he is the most elite quarterback. I think our pal Greeny has said before that Brady is the GOAT, but that Rodgers is the boat. He's the best of all time from a talent standpoint, and that, you know, you could argue that he just hasn't been able to take that next step and bring the Lombardi back to Wisconsin. So I do think that he cares about some of those things. I do think he cares about his legacy. I do think he cares about where he is, you know, at the end of the day compared to all the other people who have played the position. But there's not a lot he can do about the championships at this point. So yes, winning another one this year would help in the state of Wisconsin. From a personality standpoint, guys, and we've talked about this before on your show, there was something about Brett Favre that people just wrapped their arms around. And for a lot of people, it doesn't matter what Rodgers does. Personality-wise, they like Brett Favre.
Yeah, there's always been that,
Jen. A little more difficult to like.
Jen, there's always been that. There's no doubt. That's Jen Latta, ESPN Milwaukee. We're up against it, Jen. Thanks a million for jumping on with us. Key says, don't believe a myth about one head coach candidate that a bunch of teams are targeting. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio and ESPN 2.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.